you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Of all the pictures that the New Testament contains concerning Christ, the picture that he would have us turn to more than any other is found in our text, because it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do," notice what it says, "in remembrance of me." Of all the pictures that could be, that God could bring to our mind, notice one of them. He wants us to take communion. Why? In remembrance of me. And what are we supposed to remember? What are the things? We have the bread and we have the juice. It's his body and it's his blood broken and spilt for you and I. That's what we're supposed to remember. This evening I want us to just consider the Lord's death. Consider it. Christ wants us to think about it. His heart was filled with infinite, indescribable love for us. And we can be assured that his motive was not selfish for wanting us to recall this memory to our mind's eye. But rather, he was trying to meet a deep need in our life. And we're going to consider that. Notice in our text in verse 24, it says, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it." Notice again, "in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup," notice what he says, "you do show the Lord's death till I come." You know why we have communion as a church? It's not just some formal tradition. It's a thing required. It's a thing handed down to us, not by some pope, not by some early church fathers. I'm sure they did it, but it's handed down to us by the word of God, and it was from Christ. And he said, "This do in remembrance of me." And when you do it, what are you doing? You're showing my death. It's supposed to be something we think about. We think about every so often, because it is the nature of man to forget, isn't it? It's the nature of man, things that are done for you. We live, I believe, in one of the most ungrateful times, especially in America. One of the most ungrateful times in America. We can't even look back. We want to erase history. We can't even thank a George Washington. We can't thank an Abraham Lincoln. We can't thank any of those guys. Instead, we have to pick them apart and we have to tear down. And look what any of these people have done. All they do is burn things down. Right? That's all they do. They burn things down. They loot everything. And they're like, "Hey, you know what? You know, we deserve this. You don't deserve anything." And Christ, the reason that Christ is saying, "Remember," because that's what happens to us as Christians many times. We get to the place that as Christians, we are entitled. "What? I deserve this, church." No, you don't. "I deserve salvation." No, you don't. You don't deserve anything. You deserve, if anything, hell and damnation. And coming to a time like this, it reminds us that, wow, what a salvation we have. Oh, Jesus, Savior, born in a lowly station, a virgin son in David's royal line. Men to redeem from every tribe and nation, thou didst stoop down and die, and I am thine. When I look back and see history's pages, the story of thy worldwide triumphs told, while o'er the globe to thee, the rock of ages, men turn from sin thy beauty to behold, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Before thy lofty throne I bow the knee and there confess how great thou art. And since I know the babe of Bethlehem's manger is Lord of heaven, whom myriad hosts acclaim, yet here amid the poor on earth stranger, he died to save me. I extol his name. He who on earth was scorned, despised, rejected, who now in heaven sits on his glorious throne, is coming soon, the king so long expected, to rule the universe and bless his own. Praise the Lord for his glorious death that brought salvation to you and I. It should be a reverent, worshipful observance as we come to the communion table. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would give us heavenly sent spirit, and he would abide with us in our service this evening. I pray for sustaining grace that as we take the precious word that you have preserved for us, that Lord, you would do that which I cannot do and speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So here in our text, notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you continue on in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So in verse 28, it says, but let a man examine himself. So just a couple of thoughts in proclaiming and remembering the Lord's death. First, the death of Christ shows God's hatred of sin. You saw it there. He said, hey, watch out, because the death of Christ is so precious that you don't want to even remember it with sin in your life. Do you notice that? You don't even want to remember it, because sin put our Savior on the cross. And when I think of it lightly, when I think, oh, it's just a light thing, that sin that I'm hanging on to, that sin crucified your Savior. The death of Christ shows God's hatred of sin. Turn to Romans, and in Romans, we find a number of passages. So we'll read just a couple of them, and we'll think about a couple of things about the death of Christ showing God's hatred of sin. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, notice, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that what? All have sinned. Go to Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Go to chapter 7 and verse 11. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it, what did it do? Slew me. Look at verse 12. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding what? Sinful. Do you consider sin to be exceeding sinful? The death of Christ reminds us of what sin is. What sin is, what it accomplishes, you know what it does? Sin kills things. Sin is dark, it's dismal. Sin is a transgression of God's holy law. This law is designed to regulate the lives of the creatures made in the image of God and produce something good. And sin destroys that. Sin is an attitude of selfishness that leads to acts of rebellion against God. Sin is destructive and degrading. It causes life, a spiritual life, to drift downward. Sin is wicked. It's malignant. It does not work for righteousness. Sin is a deadly disease in the soul. It darkens the intellect. It deadens the emotions. It degrades the human will. Sin has produced spiritual death in human souls, and its desire is separation from our Creator. That is what sin is. And when we come to the death of our Savior, the death of our Savior reminds us of how horrible sin is. How horrible sin is. It had to be saved by the most precious of sacrifices ever. There is no sacrifice like Jesus Christ. No sacrifice ever like our Savior. And yet, that is what it cost, the precious blood of Jesus. to redeem us. The death Christ shows God's hatred of sin. The most precious thing that God had, His Son. And that's what it cost to pay for sin. It should sober us. Secondly, the death of Christ shows God's holiness and justice. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. The death of Christ shows God's holiness and justice. You know, some have a sentimental concept of God, and they picture Him as a doting grandfather who is indulgent and tolerant, and that is not the picture of God. In Hebrews chapter 10, notice in verse 3, but in those sacrifices there is remembrance again made of sins every year. For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for Me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then I said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of Me, to do Thy will, O God. Above, when He said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said He, lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. He take away the first that He may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified, notice, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The death of Christ shows God's holiness and justice. And how does it show the holiness and justice? Because Jesus Christ, the most pure, the most holy, that is what was required. That is what was required. It wasn't that nothing was done. It took that to give us salvation. And that is because God's holiness and His justice came together and were met completely. And Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus. Oh, it's amazing. The death of Christ on the cross reveals that God does not pass lightly over sin nor treat it with an indulgent attitude. He does not ignore sin. It, because of its very nature, it needs to be punished. It needs to be obliterated. And that's why in the Old Testament, did you see in Hebrews chapter 10, year after year, thousands upon thousands of bulls and calves and goats and lambs and turtle doves, thousands and thousands and thousands, and the blood dripped off the altars. It was a reminder to them. It cost. God is holy. He is just. And then our Savior came. And once for all. Amen. Once for all. God's holiness and justice was satisfied in the death of Christ. And then the death of Christ shows God's immeasurable love. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Notice here in 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll read starting in verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. You'll notice in chapter 2, as he's talking to these folks, Peter is written to a people that are being persecuted. And so the book of 1 Peter is a great book for trial and tribulation. And so what does he bring them back to during that time of trial and tribulation? That you have a precious, precious faith. It is worth going through this. It is worth going through that suffering. Why? Because your salvation is precious. Notice in chapter 2 and verse 3, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. This is the love that God has for us. The death of Christ shows God's immeasurable love. The sacrificial love of God was infinitely costly. God gave his only begotten son to die on the cross. It was the only adequate way of dealing with sin. And yet God loved us so much that if you read this, did you see it was foreordained? Now there's a lot of debate, right? When you get into Calvinism and all that type of stuff, there's a lot of debate on what that means. But this is what my finite mind, right? A little bit of what I know. That God knew before Adam that Adam would fall. And yet, it did not even cross his mind to leave man. Amen. It didn't even cross his mind. He said, no. I love them so much. And it was foreordained that Christ would die for us. Wow, what a Savior. What a God we have. You and I would say, forget those people. Let's start a race on Mars. But no. Foreordained. Amen. They'll reject me. And I know it's costly. But I'll give my son. What a love. And that's why when you sit and ponder this, just this afternoon, just reviewing it. Tears come to my eyes. And I wonder sometimes as we sit in our plush life, in our plush world, have you forgotten what the death of Christ cost? Have you forgotten? What a big deal. Have you forgotten, as Greg gave his testimony, this? Have you forgotten how God led a pathway all the way from Russia for you to get saved? Have you forgotten the awesomeness of our God? Oh, the death of Christ shows him his immeasurable love. And then notice also the death of Christ shows remissions of sins is possible. Acts 10 says, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And what that means is remissions of sins is possible. Forgiveness. If you turn to Psalm 103, passage I love, Psalm 103. It says in Psalm 103 and verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And number one, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Go down to verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. This is the wonder. All right, I'm talking to some people here. And this week I was talking to somebody this afternoon, just trying to encourage them. God gave me a verse for them. You know what? This past week might have been a rough week, but come to Christ, because forgiveness is free. He'll forgive you, but you got to come. Notice, what did he say? He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. If you fear him, you'll come and say, you know what? I wasn't perfect this week. God, I messed up some, but I'm coming to you. And guess what Christ can do? His blood is still there available to wash away your sins. Oh, come to him. Understand that forgiveness, it's full. It's all the way there. It's not a partial forgiveness. And forgiveness is free. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, you can enjoy all the forgiveness that you want. And guess what Christ does? And that's the beauty of it. Again, I'm working with some people. I try to just help them because, you know, all of us flub up sometimes. We all do. But guess what you can do? You can come to God. And then he can correct it. And then this is what he tells you. Sometimes we only think of it because we're all cocky. You know, when Paul is saying, forgetting those things which are behind, we're like, well, you know what? All my successes I've got to forget about. What? You mean that sin that you just did, like in your pride? Yeah. But guess what God says? You push those things back because I have. I've forgot about them. What are you talking about? You ever been somebody and they kind of joke that way? They're like, hey, remember, I never told you. Told me what? All right? Guess what? God's memory can be gone that fast about our sin. He can forgive it. And it's as far as the east is from the west. Now, I can remember just in Sunday school, having a teacher tell me, so, where does the east and the west meet? And there I am. Well, I don't know what it was, 7-year-old, 8-year-old. Well, I don't know. 1,000 miles? 2,000 miles? Never! They never meet. That's the idea. Remember, our sins are cast into the deepest parts of the ocean. It's not saying that he's going to get a deep sea diving unit and be like, oh, you know what? Let's go get them. The idea is that they're not recoverable. Amen. That's our God. Amen. That's the forgiveness that is available. And that's why Isaac Watts, when he pondered upon the wonder of the cross, when he pondered upon it, when he thought upon it, his imagination came to inspiration. And he said, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. See from his head, his hand, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Or thorns compose so rich a crown? And that's why lastly he could write, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. All the death of Christ. The death of Christ according to our text. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Heads bowed and eyes closed.